Okay, what about, yeah, the, do you remember, like, socialism when it was like the Red Scare and all that?
Yes, I surely do remember that, of course, most of what I read in the newspapers.
Yeah.
But there's one incident that I might tell you about. You know, the Bolsheviks took over in Russia
right.
in 1917.
Right.
Well, while I was working at the university, we had a Russian man to come to teach at the university.
Yeah.
His name was Dr. Spakovsky. And he was in that 1917 war that the Bolsheviks had, and he was not for the Bolsheviks. And he and some of his compatriots escaped from Russia, and he wrote a story for the college newspaper one Christmas about how they spent that Christmas that they, after they had escaped, they went through Finland, and there was snow everywhere, you know. It was a beautiful story. And there was a woman in there, in the group, and they had counted the days, so they knew when Christmas Day was, and they stopped and observed Christmas, and she had on a blue silk petticoat, and they tore strips of from that petticoat and made little blue bowls and put on a tree, decorated the tree. It was a beautiful story that he wrote, and as long as I was advisor for the paper, we used that story every Christmas in the paper. But anyhow, he they went on around Europe to the other side of Russia, you know, I guess down around the Black Sea and
Turkey.
Down in that Turkey, in that area. And I'm not sure how he got to the United States. He first came to Canada, though, he and his wife. And then they came to the United States. Somebody sponsored him. You know, he was a very brilliant man. His English was not very good, but it was good enough for students to understand him and get something out of what he said. He was here a number of years, and then he was hired by the, I think, by the University of Alabama at Huntsville. I believe he went from here to Huntsville. He's dead now, but he used to tell about how things went in Russia, you know. And of course, I've read. Have you ever read something in Alexander? What's that?
Alexander the Great.
Oh, it's a wonderful book. It's it's. What can you think about his name? The Tsar of Russia. What was
it? Oh, Tsar Nicholas.
Nicholas and Alexander is the name of the book. And it's written in fiction style, but it's built on fact, you know. And of course, all of that he knew about the Bolsheviks killing the Tsar and his family and his children, you know. Sort of sad story in a way.
Did he face any hate, like resentment here because he was, any suspicion here because he was Russian?
I don't think that people then knew about things like that in that, you know. They just wasn't that communication.
So there wasn't that big Red Scare, wasn't that big?
Well, the Red Scare became after the Bolsheviks took over in Russia, and there were spies. People were scared of spies.
Really?
You know, there were supposed to be spies everywhere watching and keeping up with everything the United States did, and that was a real scare, you know. People, I think there was an expression about communists behind every bush. You know, that people really felt like that. And there were some spies that were arrested and convicted and executed, you know, in this country. You know,
Sacco and Vanzetti.
Yeah, that's, they were among those.
Do you remember that? Did you think they were guilty or innocent?
I thought they were guilty.
You thought they were guilty?
Because that was the prevailing opinions.
Yeah.
But of course, I don't know. They probably were, you know. Really, the people that were spies for Russia in those days would go to any lengths to get what they wanted, you know.
Yeah.
It really was a time for us to be afraid.
So you had no sympathy for those two?
No.
What about the KKK?
Well, oh, I have no patience, sympathy, anything else for the KKK. But the KKK started out as a for a good purpose.
Yeah.
And but it degenerated, you know, into a horrible organization. I just think it's terrible.
Was it prevalent in Alabama?
Yes, it was, and there were a lot of people that belonged to it that the public didn't know they belonged, you know, because it was so secret.
Yeah.
I don't.
But you must have known people.
What?
You must have known people. Anyway.
I probably did, and
didn't know it.
Didn't know it. But I know one time my husband, he was a bear. He was just a fiery person when it came to being loyal to the South and to anything that stirred his patriotism, you know. But he said something to me one time about joining the KKK, and I said, well, the day you do, that'll be the last day we live together.
Wow.
I leave you the day you join Ku Klux Klan. Well, he never did
join. He didn't join,
no. And I don't think he really was in sympathy with all they did, but he did. He did think that some of the things they believed in were right, you know. And I think to start with, that, and I'm not, I'm very opposed to this idea that that every trace of the Confederacy should be destroyed because the blacks don't like it. I think that's part of our history, just like they want to have Black History Month every year, you know.
So like the Georgia flag changing.
I think that the South deserves, as part of its history, to preserve some of the things about the Confederacy. I just can't understand why they think they should be entitled to put so much emphasis on slavery. You know, there's not a one of them, Jesse Jackson or any of the others that get up to talk, that they don't go back and go through all the years of slavery and what a hard time they had. Well, there were lots of good white people that were good to black people. They wouldn't be where they are today if it hadn't been for white people.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I just don't think it's fair to say that the Confederacy can't, that we can't play Dixie.
Oh, yeah.
Dixie has just been, it's just been the theme song for the South for all these years, you know, and I don't think people like it because they think it is against the blacks. I think it's just part of our heritage.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to fly the battle flag, but I think they need to fly the flag of the Confederacy. I think they should be allowed to, I mean,
yeah,
where they want to.
What about when did you get your first your husband or you get your first automobile?
Well, Papa. My father bought our first automobile in 1912. It was an oval.
Okay.
You wouldn't know that one before you were born. But anyhow, he had a man teach me how to drive. I learned to drive a car when I was 12.
12?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I've been driving ever since.
Yes.
But it was the oval one was a one of the few cars on the market at that time. But anyhow, the next car we had was a Buick.
So you never got the Ford?
We when I married Red, he had a Ford.
Oh, okay.
And it was a Model T.
Oh.
And you know, the Overland and the Buick both had hand gears, you know.
Yeah.
But the Model T you did with your foot. You know, you do you know about
yeah,
the Model
T? Yeah, so it was like a big advance.
You pushed it all the way in for something else. I don't even remember how it was, but I learned how to drive it.
But it was a big revolution, I guess, Eddie.
Yeah, and then later on, of course, they got the hand gears. But he had a Ford, and when we bought a brand new Ford, and just 2 or 3 years after we married, I don't remember what model it was.
Yeah.
But another thing, too, about him, before we married, he had a cut-down Ford. Have you ever heard of cut-down cars? Well, back then, they'd take a car and cut it down and make a little sports car out of it. Didn't have a top.
Oh, okay.
Just a little two-seated sports car was what it amounted to. He had one when I met him. But the family had a sedan, a Ford sedan. And then later on, he had one of his own. But anyhow, this little sports car, he would he'd just park it anywhere with a key in it. And just anybody that knew him would go get it and drive it and bring it back.
He didn't care.
Uh-huh.
What about the, those days were trustworthy was a little more.
What?
People trusted each other more back then.
That's right. Uh-huh.
What about the radio?
The radio.
Or the radio stations.
We had, we bought our first radio when we'd been married about 5 or 6 years. And the first one we bought was a Majestic.
Yeah.
And it was a table type radio.
Yeah. What were the first programs that were on? The elections? Or?
Well, we got lots of things. And Calvin Bowen, you know, was one of the chief news men on the radio. But one thing I remember that on Saturday mornings, they had the loveliest program for children. About classical music and good things. I know I used to always turn it on for Mary and listen to it, you know.
Yeah.
But they had good things. They had operas. I used to listen to the opera on Saturday afternoon from Texaco, you know, broadcast the opera.
What about sports, like Tunney versus Dixon?
They had lots of sports, too.
Do you remember that fight?
We would listen to sports things over.
So you like sports?
Oh, yes. I'm crazy about sports.
Did you like boxing?
I'm not. I'm a baseball,
baseball
fan, though. Uh-huh.
So Babe Ruth?
Did you notice that
oh, the Tomahawk Hot Chop.
Yeah. My grandson brought me that from Atlanta. It was sent to me by one of his friends, and he was killed in an automobile accident just a few days after he sent me that Tomahawk. But anyhow, I like baseball, and I like college football. I'm not interested in professional football, but they're the only sports that I watch.
So what was your favorite team back then? In either baseball or college football?
You know, there was a lot more baseball back then than there is now. Local towns had baseball teams. For instance, we lived in the valley, we called it, where my husband was from. There were 6 towns. They had a baseball, they had a park, and had a team. And there was a league that they belonged to, you know. And when we came here in 1937, Alston had a baseball team, and they had a park, and they competed. They were in a league. There was a lot more baseball than there is now.
What about, do you remember, it was only in the Northeast, I guess, but do you remember that scare from the War of the Worlds, the Orson Welles?
The Orson Welles.
Yeah, the Martians were coming.
I remember, I did not hear that, but I remember it being in the papers and hearing about it.
I thought they were pretty silly.
Mm-hmm.
What about Charles Lindbergh?
Oh, yeah, I remember about him.
You think he was a handsome guy?
One thing that I remember about him, we had gone to Miami to see my parents, and when he made that trip across the ocean, and we heard in Miami that he'd made it. I've always been an admirer of Mrs. Lindbergh. I have several of her books.
Oh, his wife?
his wife on. Do you know about her?
Yeah, he married her late.
Ann Lindbergh. She was Ann Ma, and her father was Dwight Ma. And at the time that she met Lindbergh, he was ambassador to Mexico. And Lindbergh went on his travels to the different countries. He went to Mexico, and that's why he met her. And she was a student at Smith College in Massachusetts. And they eventually married. She's written some beautiful books. She's still living.
Yeah, so is he.
No, he's dead.
Did he die?
He's been dead a long time, yeah.
I thought he was still living.
No, he's been dead a long time.
That's a misinformation.
Oh.
How about that?